Good evening. I'd like to call the August 3rd meeting of Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee to order. Can we get a roll call?
Chair Hansett.
Here.
Deputy Chair Hewitt. Legislator Bowen.
Here.
Legislator Fabiano. Deputy Majority Leader Uchitel.
Here.
You have three members present, two absent.
Very good. Glad that we have a quorum. I'd like to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. And would you like to lead us this evening?
Sure. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do you have any more agendas?
I have many.
Yes.
Okay, so approval of the July 6, 2023 meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes of the July 6th meeting? Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the July 6th meeting?
I'd like to move to approve the minutes of the July 6th meeting.
So I think it's going to be a lot of you two.
Yeah.
Singing, not approving, but...
Yeah.
Uchitel and Bowen is second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Minutes approved, 3-0. So at the beginning, our meeting hopefully will be not too long this evening, but we never know, right? Before we get into resolutions, I've asked Probation Director Nakarado and Senior Crime Victim Counselor Darlene Higley to give us a brief presentation on the Crime Victims Assistant Program in Ulster County. So the floor is yours. She's going to do a quick PowerPoint. And any questions afterwards, we can feel free to ask. So, whatever you feel comfortable doing.
I think I might sit for now and we'll see. Anyway, hi everybody. Thank you so much for asking Crime Victims Assistance Program to be here. I greatly appreciate it. I'm Darlene Higley. I'm actually the supervisor at Crime Victims. I've worked there for 21 and a half years, actually. And we are located over at 1 Pearl Street, across the parking lot, for those of you who don't know. So we are often referred to within... I'm having technical problems.
You should hit tab or try enter.
Okay. Nope.
Might not be.
It was working and there.
That one needs to be highlighted.
Sorry about that.
Okay. We have our IT person here.
She's the jack.
So just a little bit about the Crime Victims Program while we're waiting. We're up to, we have now, what, 14 staff members?
We have actually 15.
15.
Yes, which I will, thank you, that's it. Which I will discuss in the, a little bit down the road. 15 plus the sexual assault nurse examiner. We currently have one nurse, so actually 16. So we are often referred to as CVAP, and we have a CVAP email within the county. We are, as you know, we're a division of the Ulster County Probation Department. We have been around since 1979 to address the unique needs and concerns of victims of crime. And these are all of our various funding sources, which you may see come across your desk. Our largest funder is the New York State Office of Victim Services. They fund about 75% of our program to provide direct services to victims of crime. Okay, so I'm having more technical problems. I'm so sorry.
Did you want to be on the internet?
No, not at all.
When I started at probation, I was at Crime Victims, and we had 3 counselors and an educator and a senior counselor. So that's how much it's grown.
Yes. Wow. Okay. So, thank you. So, and do I hit?
Just your arrow.
The arrow. Okay. Our services are free and voluntary and confidential. And these are some of the services that we provide. Crisis counseling and emotional support. We are the county certified rape crisis program through the New York State Department of Health. We provide accompaniment and advocacy to hospitals, police departments, the DA's office, courts. We go through the entire legal process with a victim of crime if they want us, our assistance. Our services are very victim-centered, so we are available to a survivor of crime as little or as much as they may need us. We provide information, referral assistance with accessing other programs, such as the domestic violence shelter, referring people to counseling or other, you know, agencies. We do some safety planning with folks, and, you know, review their options for, you know, whether they want to file charges or what they may wish to do next. We also assist people with filing with the New York State Office of Victim Services, our funder, for a variety of reimbursements that people may be eligible for. And I'll at the end show you a quick list of what those things might be. We assist with victim impact statements for sentencing and parole hearings. You may, on TV at the end of a case, you know, see victims giving their victim impact statements before someone is sentenced. We offer a number of sexual assault survivor support groups, including one for Spanish-speaking female survivors. That was a new service we were able to add with some funding that we started to receive about a year ago. We do a number of community education presentations in schools and to other organizations. And then this year we received the Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner Program from the District Attorney's Office. So we are now overseeing that program as well. So just really quickly, you know, in addition to the services that I just mentioned, these are some of the benefits of having our agency involved. There are many. These are just a few that I highlighted. Many of our clients, you know, are at very great risk for developing post-traumatic stress disorder, and or have post-traumatic stress disorder. So immediate support and intervention can greatly reduce the likelihood of someone developing PTSD. We also serve as the main point of contact throughout a criminal case. So I, you know, give many examples. I've, you know, been with crime victims a long time. I have some cases that I've worked on and off with for like 16 years, where I've met them at the hospital. We went to the police. We went through all of the criminal justice phases. A defendant was sentenced to state prison and then became eligible for parole. And then, you know, we were back in the picture helping the people do safety planning when for a release, or helping them access that New York State Office of Victim Services for counseling years in advance, or years, you know, later. So, and we also are really kind of, you know, we're not attorneys, we don't give legal advice, but we are the kind of experts about the legal system, so to speak. You know, we know a lot about how the court system works, and what is required of the survivors in order for them, you know, for the system to do its job. And, you know, the system isn't guaranteed, but so we support them regardless of a not guilty verdict, whatever, you know, however the case turns out. So a couple of quick things, I just wanted to point this out. So New York State executive law, there's these two articles of the law that pertain to victims of crime. The first is the Office of Victim Services, very complicated and kind of dry reading. The second one is the Fair Treatment Standards for Crime Victims. We are the keepers of victims' rights, the advocate for victims' rights. Defendants in the legal system have many, many rights. Victims have these rights on paper. They're really not enforceable, but we are the advocates to help their rights be maintained. And there are many of them in Article 23. So these are many of the victims that we serve. There are others. A lot of these crimes have an element of personal injury. That is often a requirement of certain things, that there be personal injury, but not always. But we there are these and many others. So in a 12-month period, it wasn't 2022, but it was our grant cycles run a little bit differently. But in a 12-month period, we served 1,937 individuals. Our grant year ends September 30th. We will be surpassing that number, I'm predicting. As you can see, half of our direct service cases are domestic violence. It's a huge part of what we do. You'll see that there is human trafficking listed here, and yes, there is human trafficking in Ulster County, and I will talk a little bit about that very briefly in a moment. We are also very, very involved in the intimate partner violence intervention, which you may have heard about. So we reach out on every single case that is referred through intimate partner violence intervention. There's three police agencies, Kingston, Saugerties, and New Paltz, that are currently part of IPVI. There are more coming on board soon. And so far, there have been over 1,800 incidents since the inception of the program, and we reach out on every single incident and try to make contact. So we successfully reach about 75% of those. So under our prevention education, last year 1,500 Ulster County youth received education either in schools or other community organizations about these topics. And these are the folks who work there, as Valerie was just saying. So we're very pleased that in the last 6 years, we have added two dedicated bilingual Spanish-speaking positions. We are thrilled about that. We actually have three bilingual Spanish-speaking staff, but two are dedicated positions that are bilingual. So our counselor educators do some specialized work. And a couple of them, their numbers actually weren't included in the numbers I showed you earlier. So there's even more that we do that is not included in those numbers, because their reporting is different. So we now oversee the Ulster County Safe Harbor Human Trafficking Program. It was formerly part of the Department of Social Services. We have a counselor educator on the college campus at SUNY Ulster and SUNY New Paltz under the New York State Office for Prevention of Domestic Violence. It's the Enough is Enough legislation. I don't know if you're familiar with that. We have an advocate housed over at the Family and Child Advocacy Center. And this year, through some special short-term funding, we have a part-time, an additional prevention educator who's doing prevention education for elementary school children in accordance with Aaron's Law, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but it's that for schools to be New York State mandates that schools provide child sexual abuse prevention education. And there are many states that do, but not all of them yet. So we actually this year added a new position that we were funded for because of our IPVI work, for an assistant who's helping us with a lot of extra work because of IPVI. And we now have the SANE nurse, and we're looking to hire more SANE nurses. So we also have a group of volunteers. We're required to have volunteers. It's been difficult in recent years just because of people are busy and it's hard, but we are required, and we have volunteers who answer our calls nights, weekends, and holidays, and are trained as rape crisis certified counselors as well. And let's see. So this is the what I just wanted to show you, that these, a victim of crime who sustained personal injury can, it may be eligible for these and other things, and we help them access these benefits that could be available to them. It's a lot of work, and we're happy to do it. And the state requires that we, you know, try to help people access these benefits. But if someone doesn't have insurance, or needs to move, or needs an alarm system for their safety, and they've suffered a personal injury during the crime, we may be able to help them access these benefits. And that's all. There's a lot more that we do, but I wanted to give an overview. And does anyone have questions? And I brought some of our brochures to hand out, and I will leave them here with you.
Okay. Thank you. That was very enlightening.
Okay.
You're very.
Darlene, are you done at the fair?
My coworkers are at the fair. Yes. Yes. They're doing, I think, some human trafficking.
They are.
And tabling.
Fact, we gave up space for them.
I know you did, and we're glad
to have you.
We begged.
We're glad to have you down there.
Yes.
You do amazing work.
Yeah, and that's one of our community outreach things that we're doing. So both with sexual assault prevention and human trafficking, we were able to get some space at the fair.
You do amazing work.
Yeah, thank you.
It's not easy work, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
You may see our lights on very late at night, or all kinds of, because we are 24/7, and we go to the hospital at 2 in the morning if there's a sexual assault case or, you know, a domestic violence case. So we're very, very busy. So.
Thank you. That
was
very
thank
good.
You.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Or?
Any questions? But don't hesitate to refer any if you should think someone needs our services.
Yeah.
We're happy to be of service.
Yeah. Thank you for taking your time.
Thank you.
All right. And then with that, I think we'll get into our resolutions for the August 15th session. The first one is resolution number 299. Amending the 2023 Ulster County budget, authorizing payment of retroactive COVID pay, Ulster County. It is my understanding that the sponsors are contacting the clerk to withdraw this resolution. There was pending litigation. It was settled. The resolution is not necessary, and these employees will receive the amount due to them without processing a budget transfer. So we just have to take no action.
I can walk through a little more.
Okay, sure.
So we're just waiting. The settlement agreement is with Labor Council. That's outside council. When the sheriff returns, he's on vacation. So we're just get everything signed, and then with vacancy savings from within the department, we'll use it to pay out, I think it's about $50,000 for the stand-up pay. That was part of the COVID pay agreement that we made with the union a year ago. It'll be done. It's just the timing thing. That's it.
It's good that we're getting it resolved.
Mm-hmm.
We made it. That's went a little bit long in it, but it's going to be resolved. So thank you.
Yep.
So if it's take no action, we just take no action, right? Okay. The next resolution is 309, placing a spending cap of X amount on all costs related to the proposed government operations center at Paradise Lane in New Paltz. I do not have any updates from the sponsor, so again, I'm going to recommend that we also take no action this evening. Is everyone okay with that?
May I?
Yes.
So I'm totally fine with that. At this point, just because I was researching this for a different resolution, at this point, with no action taken and he's not been present, if he wanted to, he could exercise a petition to discharge if he wanted to bring it to the floor. I don't think that that's his intention. And I'm comfortable postponing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
As am I. Yeah.
I have reached out to him and spoken about him, and he just, again, which we discussed last time, wants to have the conversation and make sure that it's out there. And I think that we speak of it very often. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. So just in terms of, we gave an update to the legislature at 30% of design. We've now moved to 60%, and the next stage that we're in is moving to 90%, which is when, you know, our target right now is October, November, where we'll have basically full design mechanicals all built out, and then we're moving to the construction documents. Bidding, if we stay on schedule, we send out the construction bid documents probably December, maybe January, with the legislature then being asked to vote on contract approval, whatever it is, probably February or March of next year. So in terms of like updates, price changes, any of that, months and months away. We're just kind of really in that next phase of all the mechanicals, all the drawings, getting everything done, speccing the final equipment. So I wouldn't expect us to publicly state changes in pricing or anything like that for some time. And then we also have to be cautious of being too public about that prior to releasing construction bid documents and setting the market price as we're sending out the documents. So I don't think we're too far off from where we were. We haven't seen increases. In fact, we've, working with Everett and the team and the consultants, we've tried to pull down prices and take out non-essential items to the project. But really the next real measure of how much this costs is when the construction companies come back and tell us how much it costs. That's generally how these things work. It's an iterative process. We make our best estimates. We're estimating at 30%, we're estimating at 60, at 90, and then it goes out the door. But really the market's going to determine what this costs and how competitive they are, how many projects are in the pipeline for the companies that'll bid on it. The PLA, that's one part that we are working on, is a project labor agreement. So we're required, due to the scale of the project, to conduct a due diligence study. I expect that this has a PLA, just based on my experience. This is going to have a PLA. Multiple trades, specialties, so we'll certainly look at that. But that's the general timeline. Next resolution, I'll let it come up, and then I can speak to that as well.
Okay, yes. So. All right, so I'm going to take no action. All right, everybody's okay with that? Everybody, the two of you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Great. And then we're going to go right to resolution number 364, establishing a restricted capital reserve fund for the Government Operations Center of the County of Ulster under Section 6C of New York State General Municipal Law. Again, I do not have any updates from the sponsor of this resolution, so I'm going to recommend again that we're going to take no action this evening. But if you'd like to speak on this one as
well.
Thank
you, Chair. So I know there has to be, there's between the sponsor, who is the chair of the legislature, and the county executive, we do support creating a capital reserve because of our excess fund balance. It's a significantly large project. So we have talked about in Ways and Means in a lot of these discussions over the past year of what to do with excess fund balance, what's the best use. A single project of this magnitude is the best use because it'll show the most kind of material savings over time on interest. And interest, by the time we go out the bond on this for the full 30 years, it could probably be approaching 5.5% just based on the rate increases we've seen over the last year. So what that number is, that's what needs to be kind of discussed. I think the chair put in 29. Mm-hmm. We in the past have discussed 25. Not a whole lot of daylight between the numbers. I think it's just that discussion needs to be prioritized so we can do it. But in reality, we don't need a capital reserve established today. I think it should be established by the end of the year.
Okay.
It could be established through budget discussions. I don't think it's a today thing. I don't feel as if we're going to lose steam or momentum in the discussion, but we are certainly on the same page that it should happen.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that update. I'm going to recommend that we take no action.
Agree.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Very good. The next resolution is number 454, amending the 2023-2028 Capital Improvement Program, establishing capital project number 675, jail axon body camera purchase, amending the 2023 Capital Fund Budget, Ulster County Sheriffs. As I understand it, the patrol division replaced their body cameras with the Axon equipment in 2022 through capital project number 616 at a cost of $533.58. And this resolution is doing the same for the jail division. Under Sheriff Benjamin, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, it's just that the cameras that we had originally, when we replaced Axon, or acquired Axon, we pushed the older cameras down to the facility, and they worked out well.
Okay.
But they are aging out, and as they collapse, we've been trying to loop along with those cameras. And I think Axon is probably a superior product to what we're using now.
Very good. Any questions on that?
What's the cost associated? What exactly is it? Does he ask?
It should be on the second page of the resolution. It's $440,000.
Okay.
So if I may.
Yes.
It is a lot, and I do remember when we purchased the Axon cameras for the patrol division, our kind of hope was that the cameras that we were replacing would, my hope at that time, which was about a year ago, was that the cameras that were kind of getting handed down to corrections could be used for longer. Has it always been the plan for that to just be about a year?
No, it actually was not the plan.
Okay.
It's just that, you know, when we did it initially with the patrol, and there's new cameras, there's new features, there's automatic switching devices, so if somebody went for their holster or put the siren on their car, it automatically activates. It activates all the other patrolmen, whether it's state police or the town of New Paltz, all get activated at that same time. So that's the technology we went to. We pushed our Panasonics down. They're breaking, they're not supported. Panasonic wants us to go to a new system. The trade-off is Axon is in the cloud, where Panasonic, we have to keep updating servers. We're maintaining that direction. But they're not supported by Panasonic.
If I may.
Yes.
So a lot of the features that we spoke about when we were reviewing the Axon purchase for patrol were related to things that you would imagine, that I would imagine in my far smaller knowledge than you have about this, being very related to field work, right? And you know, unholstering, being around other law enforcement agencies that are also using Axon products. None of that is... Well, not none of that. That seems less present in a corrections setting.
It is.
Can you speak to how the Axon features relate to a correction setting?
So the correction setting is when we go into a cell to have a contact with an incarcerated individual, or we're going to transport from point A to point B. The officers will put on their camera just so that that's a recorded occurrence. When the CERT team goes in, they all have their cameras. Their cameras are on, so that there's transparency of what's transpiring. And we use it together with the cameras that are in the facility now to paint a picture of what's occurring, what has occurred.
So those are manual activations. Are there examples that you can think of where an automatic activation of the Axon, an automatic activation of a camera would have been triggered that by a manual activation of the Panasonic product isn't being triggered today?
So if an officer, every officer is equipped with a radio that has an emergency switch, that all they have to do is push it and it'll automatically seek for help. I can't tell you that can be tied into Axon, but that would be an instance for a trigger.
Yeah.
I don't know if that technology.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen that, you know, we've had some violence in the jail, and is that related to the ask coming forward at this time?
No, I think that we've utilized those cameras now in the back, and it worked out really well for us. Especially if there's for those that don't know, direct supervision is is a pod with maybe 48 incarcerated individuals and one officer. So if there becomes a disturbance, an argument, we start automatically documenting that while they either call for help or intercede to defuse whatever situation
right.
that's going on. These cameras that they have now, they're just they're starting to break.
Okay.
I mean, it's really no fault other than they're used.
Yeah.
And Panasonic also has a version to upgrade, and they want you to go to the
What is the cost of the Panasonic upgrade compared to Axon?
Not sure. Okay. But we'd have to maintain a separate service.
Right.
Instead of the cloud, you have to.
So, are there economies of scale that they're all going to be on Axon now? Where, like, we're going to.
I'm not sure. That's a great question. I believe there is.
Okay.
But I can verify and give you a play, though.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to understand better about how the Axon. I mean, the. I want to make sure that if we're paying a premium that this is the right product, and I understand why it's the right product for patrol. I'll support this tonight, but it would be great if before session we could hear that about if there's economies of scale that we're
sure.
getting into, if there's a way that the features that are such a strong selling point for patrol use are also relevant for, because the examples, you know, with all due respect, the examples that you mentioned all were manual activations, which the current system allows as well. So what I'm hearing is the current system breaks and we have to maintain these servers. I'm not sure that Axon, I'm not convinced tonight that Axon solves that problem. I will support this, particularly in light of the violence that we've had in the jail recently. But I would like to understand that before legislative session in 2 weeks.
I think the difference between Axon and the Panasonic is the storage.
Yep.
Is the storage. And actually, Axon is a better camera. I mean, I could probably show you the difference between the resolutions of and the sounds. But one's maintained with a home-based server, the other one's stored in the cloud, which is easier for us, especially if there's any evidence that needs to be brought to the DA's office, prosecutor, or public defender. We can maintain it and send it electronically.
Very good. I'll make sure to follow up on that as well, and we'll get some more information on that.
Just capturing how old the current cameras are. You're saying they're end of life?
The Panasonics, we've had those. We could probably use those for 10 years.
Okay. And Panasonic is no longer supported?
No, they want us to go to a newer upgrade version.
Okay, and so instead of going to an upgrade with Panasonic, you're looking to switch to this new product.
I'm sorry, what was
that? So instead of upgrading the Panasonic, you're looking to go to the Axon product instead.
We are looking to the Axon.
And then you've compared the cost of both, and you think this is the best way
I think it's the best. It's the technology. And I do agree with you that we can look into it and see if there's different levels of.
Yeah.
I don't believe we need the triggers and everything that kind of speed.
Okay.
But when you maintain that other server system, you need manpower to actually go in there and burn disks for the DA's office and make sure that they get all that. We're in the cloud, like we can just pick it.
It's automatic and it uploads
easy.
Okay.
My understanding is that most departments in the county is using Axon now or going to Axon as well. So,
yeah,
but
Kingston
we can,
is,
yeah,
yeah,
and that way they can all.
Yeah, but again,
yeah, we'll look
in a correction setting.
But it's different, than road patrol, absolutely. So we'll I'll make sure to get back to you as well. So, is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
I'll move to adopt.
You still
second?
Thank you, Bowen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you. The resolution passes 3-0. Under Sheriff, don't go anywhere. Resolution number 356, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $8,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000. Entered into the county, New York State Communications Company, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff. This is approving an $8,000 contract amendment with NYCOMCO to lease 4 refurbished radios for the Sheriff's Criminal Division for the term September 23 through 12/31/26. Under Sheriff, would you like to speak on this as well?
It's unfortunate that radio communications in this area is kind of split. I know that emergency management and the state are working on a plan to make this better so that there's an interoperable radio system in place. Until then, we have to get these four because they're dual band radios. So it's going to be utilized by primarily by our USERT and urgent teams.
Okay.
And it'll provide 800 megahertz and it'll also provide VHF.
Is there any discussion?
Everything that can be said about NICOMCO has already been said.
So, okay.
It probably will be said again in session. So I don't.
All these towers.
I don't need to belabor the point.
Yeah. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
I'll move it.
Legislator Uchitel, and second?
Yep.
Legislator Bowen, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution is passed. Read
if we had more people here, I might be opposed just to make a point, but
okay.
We can't afford that tonight.
We are on our last resolution. Number 357, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $7,200, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county, Verify Polygraph and Forensic Consultants, LLC, Ulster County Sheriff. Under Sheriff?
So this was contract language and a monetary amount that had to be placed in the contract just to ensure payment to the Polygraph services if there was a cancellation under a 48-hour time period. They charged $150 per session. Although, if we could backfill it and send a different candidate within that slot, we wouldn't have to. To date, we have used zero.
That's great.
A dime in this cancellation for that polygraph.
Okay. All right. Is there any discussion?
Yeah. Why is it $7,000 for a $150 fee? I mean, that would be 48 cancellations.
Right. I think that's what they based it on was 48 cancellations. Why is that number?
So this is a not to exceed amount, I assume.
Yeah, it's not to exceed.
Okay. I mean, is that a? You know, I get that it's in the hands of the candidate coming in for their polygraph before employment, right? So it's not really.
Well, we pay for the polygraphs.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is it's on them if they cancel, right? Like, we pay for it, but we can't control if they come to their appointment. If they don't, then probably not going to be, you know, rather them show their cards as a bad candidate for law enforcement work than not, right? But it just seems like a lot, but I appreciate that it's not to exceed, and you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and we're zero.
Yeah, which is really good.
Yeah.
That nobody, so.
Yeah, so it's not common, is what you're saying.
No, it's not. It really is not common.
Okay.
They usually call up and say, I can't make it, or
right.
Defer the job.
Okay, understood.
Okay, is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
I'll move it.
You should tell. Bowen, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution passed 3-0. Well, that was lovely. There are no forthcoming resolutions or local laws that I'm aware of at this time. Under new business, I've asked Director Erickson to give us a brief update on our visit to the Orange County Emergency Services Center that we went to on Monday.
So on Monday, I was able to bring the chair and our county executive to Orange County to get a look at their version of the government operations center that we're building out. They have an EOC and a PSAP together with all their emergency services divisions there. Much larger county, a little overwhelming. I mean, it's a very big facility. It was built about 12 to 15 years ago, but they did a very good job. They had a lot of forward thinking when they built out their facility. A lot of stuff that we had saw when we did our visits throughout the state of different EOCs and 911 PSAPs included Orange County, where, you know, they have a training room with working consoles that can then take on call volume, so it's a dual purpose. They have their EOC that is connected to their PSAP. So while the EOC is in operation, they're able to keep their fingers on the pulse of what's going on through the 911 center, because all your emergency calls are coming in the 911 center, right? So you really get to keep your fingers on the pulse of what's happening. They have the conference rooms surrounding the EOC, so you're able to have your breakout rooms, you're able to bring the executive staff in and make those executive decisions that need to be made, bringing in all your working groups into the EOC to make decisions. They have a lot of technology, they have a lot of storage there. You know, they pointed out that during COVID, they were a facility that was able to be stood up and run immediately. During these past storms that they just had down in Orange County, the town of Highlands and the village of Highland Falls, they were able to bring the staff in to address those situations. And we all know that we've been seeing more storms here in Ulster County coming through across the state, across the nation. I think it really, you know, opens up everybody's eyes to see the operation working rather than just like, you know, here's a drawing, this is what we want to do. So I think it went very, very well. I got a lot of good feedback on our ride back from Madam Chair and the County Executive. So I think we're on the right path.
And they were very forward thinking.
Yes.
It's amazing that it is about 15 years old, you think?
It's 12 to 15 years
Yeah. Just they planned it very well. And some of the things that stood out for me was storage. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, with on top of everything else that was like so amazing, the storage. And just like they said, like, you know, we had a place to put all these masks and COVID tests, like things we didn't know that 10 years ago. Equipment, the chairs and the desks, and just the whole flow and the feel of the building was amazing. So I have gone over to Dutchess County, and now I've gone down to Orange County. And moving forward, Dutchess County is always available for a tour. It's close, and if anybody would like to do that, I'm sure that we could arrange that.
Absolutely.
But they were very hospitable, answered a lot of questions. In the back of their whole building was solar array, which our county exec was very excited about.
Sure.
But it was a nice, an eye-opening visit, and makes me more excited as we move forward with this for our county residents and our employees as well, to have a pleasant place to work. Because it's not an easy job. It's not an easy task to take those calls. So thank you for arranging
both
of you.
Anytime.
So any other new business? Anybody? All right.
Chair, if I may.
Yes.
So at some point in the next couple days, I'll volunteer another one of our departments or units in order to do something similar to what Darlene did. I think it's
very much appreciated.
Yeah, I think it's good for them to tell what they do, and so we're continually keeping conversation going. So
yeah, that was great. I had no idea there was that many employees there, and so yeah, please do.
Okay, and if there's requests or if there's different areas of interest, then just please reach out to me, and I'll make sure that we can
facilitate. All right. Yes. We got we might have somebody for next month, so. I was like, wait, that's so far away.
You told me to hold on to it.
Yeah,
I know.
But, like, that seems so far away, September. I'm like, wait, we're not there yet, but we are, right?
Yeah.
Any old business? All right. And with that said, may I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Bowen? You should tell. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.